Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them.
A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government.
This is the Savage Nation, and of course, these are powerful words of the Americans who created this great nation. They no longer have much meaning for many different reasons, but I still believe in America. I still believe in the Declaration of Independence, and I still believe in the Bill of Rights. I have an announcement to make on the Savage Nation right now. It is an exclusive announcement. It has not been heard anywhere else. It is only being broadcast today on the Savage Nation. From my studio in the San Francisco area around the world. It will be picked up and it will be the letter heard around the world. I have today, through the Thomas More Law Center, filed an appeal to the Honorable Hillary Rodham Clinton, the Secretary of State, to remove the ban that the UK has put upon me. Now, it has been posted on the Drudge Report. The Drudge Report got the news first that this was coming. It went up about, well, a while ago. Let's put it to you that way. Radio host Michael Savage appeals to Hillary to remove his name from UK banned list developing. If you want to read the letter, you can see it on michaelsavage.com right now, but I'm going to read it to my audience because most of you are not at a computer. Most of you are somewhere else, working, driving perhaps. I don't know where you are. I'm going to read you the letter. And it's very important that you listen to each and every word that I'm about to read to you. Again, the Thomas More Law Center, acting on my behalf, has filed a letter with Hillary Clinton asking her to intervene on my behalf. Dear Madam Secretary, on behalf of Michael Savage, an American conservative talk show host, the Thomas More Law Center respectfully demands that you call upon the government of the United Kingdom to rescind the arbitrary and capricious decision to ban Mr. Savage, a U.S. citizen, from entering the United Kingdom. The Thomas More Law Center is a national public interest law firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The UK Home Secretary, on or about May 5, 2009, published a list of 16 individuals banned from entering the United Kingdom. Astonishingly, Mr. Savage was included on that list, which contained names of Muslim clerics, convicted criminals, and Russian skinheads. The Home Office described Mr. Savage in negative terms. The United Kingdom is punishing Mr. Savage for what he says in the United States, and not what he has said or intends to say in the United Kingdom. Mr. Savage's radio show is not broadcast in the United Kingdom. I doubt that many British citizens ever heard of Mr. Savage until after the May 5 ban. It is extremely suspicious that the Home Secretary's office would select an American radio talk show host to place on their so-called least wanted list when that individual has never taken steps to enter the country. I want to repeat that. I did not apply for a visa. In fact, the ban on Mr. Savage has caused outrage and a political firestorm in the United Kingdom. Some British citizens are claiming the action against Mr. Savage was used to give political cover to the list that concerned mainly Muslims. Mr. Savage hosts the third most popular radio talk show in the United States with 8 million listeners a week and approximately 400 radio stations coast to coast. He has been on the air for 15 years and has never advocated violence, nor have any of his comments ever instigated violence. Of course, here in the United States, Mr. Savage enjoys the constitutional protection of the First Amendment right to free speech. And his exercise of that right in the United States should not be used as a basis for deterring his right to travel to the United Kingdom. Again, I'm reading a letter that has gone out within the last hour to Hillary Clinton, who is our Secretary of State, to act in my behalf as an American citizen. I do not want this to become a Dreyfus affair. And I want to tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen, as I read this letter. How politicians respond to my appeals will be how they are remembered in the history books. Remember, on the face of it, most of them look as though they really don't care about their legacy, but they do. The bigger ones do. And irrespective of whether or not they agree with my politics, in fact, I assume they do not agree with my politics. In fact, I assume they hate my politics. But I will quote Voltaire, who wrote, "I do not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it." That is a credo that has driven liberalism for several hundred years. "I do not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it," Voltaire. I will remind Hillary Clinton, I will remind every other politician I may choose to send a letter of appeal to, that your legacy depends upon whether or not you intervene on my behalf. Of course, it would be easy for the politicians to ignore the letter. It would be easy for the politicians to say, "Drop dead. We hate your politics." But if they think carefully, they cannot lose by taking my side. They can only win by taking my side. But more than winning by taking my side, they can become great Americans. They can become true Americans. They can become Americans that are recognized in the history books as having done the right thing for a very unpopular figure, at least unpopular in their eyes. And so again, I will continue, and I'll tell you more about this legal case as it unfolds, because there's more intrigue to this than meets the eye. Let me continue, because this is critical. We cite case law now. In the United States, Savage enjoys the constitutional protection of the First Amendment right to free speech. And his exercise of that right in the United States should not be used as a basis for deterring his right to travel in the United Kingdom. "Accordingly," says my attorney, "I respectfully request that you take all necessary action to protect Mr. Savage's rights under Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which both the United States and the United Kingdom are signatories." Listen to this carefully, people. Article 19, Section 2 provides in part, quote, "Everyone shall have the right to freedom of expression. This right shall include freedom to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas of all kinds, regardless of frontiers, either orally, in writing, or in print," close quote. Furthermore, pay attention, people. The United Kingdom is in direct violation of Article 10 of the European Convention on Human Rights, which protects the right to freedom of expression. Article 10.1 provides in part, quote, and I want you to hear this, "Everyone has the right of freedom of expression. This right shall include freedom to hold opinions and to receive and impart information and ideas without interference by public authority and regardless of frontiers," close quote. Now we cite case law. The European Court of Human Rights, case of Surek versus Turkey number 1, the European Court of Human Rights has held that the, quote, "freedom of expression constitutes one to the essential foundations of a democratic society," end quote. The court went on to say that this freedom of expression is not only applicable to information and ideas that are favorably received, and here's the punchline, but, quote, "also to those that offend, shock, or disturb," close quote. Now, I want to reiterate that I am protected by the European a Court of Human Rights in this case, saying that the freedom of expression shall extend to, quote, "ideas that offend, shock, or disturb." I am appealing to Hillary Clinton herself to take my case to the United Kingdom and remove my name from that list of unwanted individuals. They are violating Not only are they violating the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights to which they are a party, but they are also violating the European Convention on Human Rights. I will be right back to read the rest of the letter. Be here. Savage.
Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes.
And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than
all right,
to...
These are Hollywood actors, most of whom don't even know what they're reading. You can hear they sound like school children. They're all liberals, perhaps 9 out of 10 of them. But I would ask all of these good liberal actors who read this Declaration of Independence to put their money where their acting is. You see, it's very easy to come to the aid or defense of someone you agree with, but it takes a special person to come to the aid of someone you vehemently disagree with. And again, I want to repeat to you that I am appealing to a woman who you would think is my natural political opponent. I'm sure she thinks I am. But the fact of the matter is, I'm no friend of either party. If anything, I'm a friend of the American people. And so I filed this letter within, well, let's say today, with Hillary Clinton, Department of State, radio talk show host Michael Savage banned for entering the United Kingdom, and I've been reading the letter, and I'll summarize 2 points of law. Accordingly, the letter says, I request that you take all necessary action to protect Mr. Savage's rights under Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which both the United States and the United Kingdom are signatories. And I quote in the letter, which you can read on michaelsavage.com, what the clause is. But listen carefully, please. The European Court of Human Rights case of Surek versus Turkey number 1 has held that the freedom of expression constitutes one to the essential foundations of a democratic society, unquote. The court went on to say that this freedom of expression is not only applicable to information and ideas that are favorably received, but, quote, also to those that offend, shock, or disturb, end quote. Now, that's the crux of this entire appeal. The object here is for my government to understand that although I may offend some or many, I may disturb some or many, I may shock some or many, I have a right to do it under my own constitution and also under the European Court of Human Rights themselves. Now, many liberals say we should be following international law, that the U.S. law itself should evolve. Well, here's an example of a case where the most devout liberal would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a former ACLU attorney who's sitting on the Supreme Court for nearly 20 years. She should recognize that this case requires that the government intervene on my behalf. Let me finish the letter. One more paragraph. In conclusion, the Thomas More Law Center, on behalf of Michael Savage, respectfully demands that you and the United States Department of State take all necessary steps to call on the government of the United Kingdom, and more particularly the office of the Home Secretary Jackie Smith, to rescind the aforementioned ban preventing the entry of Michael Savage into the United Kingdom. Also, on behalf of Mr. Savage, and here's the kicker, people, please determine how and what specific criteria the Home Office applied to place Mr. Savage on the aforementioned list. Please keep the undersigned informed of the steps you plan to take and are taking. Very truly yours, Thomas More Law Center, Richard Thompson, President and Chief Counsel. Little did I know that the day would come that this wonderful organization, who I funded over the years to help Marines, Colonel Chassani and others, would come to my aid, but they have. I want to remind you that not one conservative politician has spoken out for me. I want to remind you that not one Christian organization has sent me so much as an email saying, Savage, we're on your side. I want to remind you that not one Jewish organization has sent me so much as an email saying, Savage, we are on your side. I want you to understand that I am alone twisting in the wind. And therefore, I need your help. How do I need your help? I need you to print this letter from michaelsavage.com and send it to friends, send it to politicians. I also would like you to consider going on michaelsavage.com, and I haven't done this for well over a year, I have not asked for a dime from any of you. But again, I'm going to ask you to help me with the legal costs of what this case may take. And on the right side is support the Savage Legal Fund, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, California, 94111. It is not a nonprofit organization. It is not tax deductible, the donations. Many of you have given generously in the past, and if you'd like to consider giving again, we would appreciate it. Savage appeals to Hillary to have Brits remove his name from unwanted list. Question to the Savage Nation. What do you think Hillary Clinton will do when this letter is received by her? It is on the Drudge Report. It is on michaelsavage.com. It should be picked up by my friends in the media. I don't know if I have any. I certainly know that there are some. WorldNet Daily will no doubt publish the letter. They're a great organization. Other than that, I really don't know who else might publish it. Truthfully, I have seen a collapse, an almost total collapse in conservative websites in the last few months. I've seen people who I kind of was queasy about turn out to be total quislings, and I'm not going to name them by name, but I will one day tell you which websites I no longer go on because I happen to know they're working for the other side. I will take your calls. A, what do you think of my letter? B, what do you think Hillary Clinton will do? I will take your calls right now. Boston, Nicholas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello, Mr. Savage. Let me first say that it's an honor to actually be talking to you for the
Thank
first time.
Thank you.
I'm from Sweden originally, and now I'm in Boston for vacation, and I thought I should take the opportunity to call you and tell you that I support you 100%, and I think it's an outrage about the recent events leading up to you.
Well, Nicholas, I think any fair-minded person living in the world would understand the international implications of banning a human being because of things they have said, not things they have done. I have never advocated violence. This is a violation of European law. I would suggest, Nicholas, that you print the letter up and send it to everyone you know on your email list in Sweden. I'd suggest everyone listening to the show print the letter up on michaelsavage.com and circulate it to everybody that you know in the world. I'd suggest that those of you who love freedom of speech send the letter to your favorite congressman or senator and ask them to help Michael Savage.
Savage.
When a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies.
All right, there's all the liberal crybabies from Hollywood reading it. They don't even know what they're talking about. Here's a case that falls right into their bailiwick. And they ignore it and laugh at me because they hate my politics. What they don't understand is that they should support a man whose politics they abhor, not someone whose politics they love. Then they will be a person, my son. Now, for those of you who have listened to my show for many years, and there are many of you, some of you are fanatics, and you don't miss a show. You know that I've talked about my dreams over the years when they come up and they're profound. How many years have I told you that I had a repetitive nightmare that went on for over 10 years, that I was trapped at Heathrow Airport, specifically Heathrow Airport, and I could not find my flight. I couldn't get out of there. I was trapped there. I just got like a freak show in my head when I remembered it. That I haven't had that dream in a year, but this is sort of that nightmare come true. Now let's get down to the letter. I want to reiterate for those of you listening, this is not a capricious letter. It is not a public relations stunt. It is a statement of law written by a top attorney citing European law. Remember, European law. And remember that the United States and the United Kingdom are both signatories to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and we quote the law. It is also important that you know that the European Court of Human Rights, in case of Zurich versus Turkey number one, has held that the freedom of expression constitutes one of the essential foundations of a democratic society. But this freedom of expression is not only applicable to information and ideas that are favorably received, but, listen carefully, quote, also to those that offend, shock, or disturb, close quote. Well, my statements apparently offend, shock, or disturb. And therefore, we believe that Jackie Smith in the Home Office has not only violated the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, but she has also violated the European Court of Human Rights. And so we are therefore asking Hillary Clinton to intervene on behalf of Michael Savage. And that's why I asked you, what do you think Hillary Clinton will do? And I invite liberals as well as others to call the show. I would say non-liberals, but that wouldn't be appropriate. I could say I invite conservatives and non-conservatives, but I'll tell you what I've learned. And this is a very hard thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it because I've thought about whether I should share it with you. I made calls before I sent this letter to Hillary Clinton through the Moore Law Center. I was appalled at what certain lawyers demanded of me financially. And I saw how the Holocaust happened. I saw exactly what happened in the 1930s. That when Jews were being rounded up against all international law, had they appealed to lawyers, the lawyers would have said to them, if you want justice, look to heaven. If you want legal advice, look for a legal bill. Nobody helped them. Nobody would help them. They wanted the cash register to go ka-ching. I saw it happening right in front of my eyes. And I have to say to you, some of these lawyers were of the faith. It got me nauseous. Some of these lawyers were very famous First Amendment attorneys who talked the talk and have represented all of these big First Amendment cases. They had the nerve to ask me fees that your hair would stand up if I told you the numbers that they wanted from me. I won't read you their names. I never will disclose the names. I felt as though I was being shaken down in a motel on the side of a dark highway. And so I decided to go with the law firm who I had faith in, the Thomas Moore Law Center. Maybe they're not as famous as big shot attorneys, you know, who ply the halls of Congress. Maybe they charge less. They're a nonprofit after all. You know, these men are former Marines and lawyers, and I've funded some cases through them before. Because I know they do the right thing, and I know their heart's in the right place, and they're good men. I was shocked at what people wanted from me. And so I'm going to do it through straight-up ways, and I'm going to do it through my listeners. You're going to be engaged as a lobbyist for freedom of speech. Everyone listening to my show today, tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, will have an opportunity, whether it be through a phone call or an email, to marshal the United States government through Hillary Clinton's office to represent Michael Savage and get my name off that despicable list. I do not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend the right to the death your right to say it, said Voltaire. That used to be a mantra of the liberal establishment. I wonder how many liberals there are left in the world. I have also found that politicians don't understand leadership at all. They have no capacity for leadership. It doesn't matter whether they're Democrat or Republican. They don't understand what the word leadership means. Leadership has fallen to others. People in industry, people in medicine, people in science, people in talk radio, people in journalism, perhaps, understand what leadership is. The politician, the political class, has become the followers, not the leaders. They follow polls. They follow trends. They do not understand. They don't even understand their own history. They don't even understand the country they're living in. They don't even understand how fragile democracy is. They don't understand how fragile our society is. They don't understand how close we are to a dissolution because of their, shall I say, petty attitudes. I started to think last night that, remember I told you yesterday I was thinking of leaving radio until this happened? Disappear, walk off the stage, pull a Johnny Carson, and whatever God gives me, you know, try to just forget about it all. Ride the bike, have lunch, play with the dog, go on the boat, be a normal man. But that's not my fate. Apparently, it's not my fate. Something much higher than myself is pulled me into this. It was a shock last Tuesday. A shock. And I recoiled, and I'm using the word that I wanted to use. I recoiled in shock. But now I'm uncoiling, and I'm fighting back. And I'm going to use the power of the Savage Nation, which stopped the Dubai port steal, which stopped the amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens, which stopped Bush from appointing Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court. I can name many victories you have been involved in. Well, here's your biggest challenge. This is it. If I lose this case, if I stay on this list, God only knows who will be on this list or another list tomorrow. Forget about talk radio. Oh, it could be an artist. It could be an actor. God, it could be you. Maybe you'll be put on the list tomorrow, which is why the ACLU, in an offhanded way, came out and said, get his name off the list. Why care, my disloyal opposition, who we sued. I sued them. They countersued. Even CARE came out and said the list is despicable. Oh, they did so for their own reasons. They understand what principles are at play here. And I am saying to anyone listening to the show who has access to Hillary Clinton that this could become her finest moment. This could have the Secretary of State rise above petty partisan politics and become a, shall I say, Statue of Liberty for America. Hillary Clinton could make her name as a fair-minded individual. She could go down in history as one of the greatest secretaries of state of all time if she were to intervene on my behalf, precisely because my politics are so opposite to hers, precisely because I have been such an ardent critic of the Democrat Party, precisely because I've been a thorn in the side of Bill and Hillary Clinton, precisely for those reasons she should intervene on my behalf. What will Hillary Clinton do is my question to the audience. And I want the answers to be brief and quick, and we're gonna blow through the calls right now. 1-800-449-8255. The letter is on michaelsavage.com. The donation site is on michaelsavage.com. I may be sending out a fundraising letter to my loyal list of folks who helped me in the past, because I have a feeling this is going to start to cost a lot of money. Apparently, there is no justice in the world. There are only legal bills. Apparently, there are no people who believe in principle in the legal profession. No matter what side they're on, there are very, very few principled men and women in the legal profession. Oh, I understand they have to make a living. I didn't deny that. But you would think that when it comes to a case like this, somebody would put aside the cash register and say, you know what, I'm getting together the top First Amendment attorneys in New York and in Washington, and we're going to take your case pro bono. Not because we like you. In fact, we hate what you stand for. But this is bigger than you and it's bigger than us. I didn't hear that. What I heard was, well, I'm not going to say anymore. Now I'm going to take your calls. Brian, Las Vegas, what do you think Hillary will do?
Yeah, I learned a lot. I think Hillary's just going to cackle at it and claim it never reached her desk.
Well, that's absurd. What do you mean, never reached a desk? We're going to make sure it reached a desk. I just announced it to millions of people. How could she say it never reached a desk?
She'll blame it on some intern or something. Never.
Well, no. She's going to get it. It's on the Drudge Report. Well, how can it not reach your desk? These people read the Drudge Report every day. San Francisco John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, Hillary and Obama will grant you entry into England. This has been a setup so they could look munificent and speak up for you and look like they're above politics and all. I've got.
Well, wait a minute. Hold it. Just excuse me. Excuse me, if they did that, it would be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be good for all of us?
Did you want to go to England, Mike?
Well, now you're asking another question. I want my name off that list.
Okay, and the price you're going to pay for getting your name off the list is glory for Obama. This stinks to me more than the plane flying over New York. How did your name get on this list, Mike?
I don't know how it got on the list. Do you know how?
I suspect it's because Obama's government asked for it to be put on so they could look great and like heroes and say, hey, we hate what Savage stands for, but we're so great, we're so liberal, we're getting his name off this list. I see this a mile away, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not so sure. How come the Republicans haven't come to help me?
Because you're a conservative, Mike.
And what are they?
They're not. They're not conservatives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's true, but we'll have to wait and see. Ohio, Robert, your opinion, please.
Dr. Savage, you have made a brilliant political move. As a matter of fact, you've put the Queen in check. If Hillary does, if the office of the Secretary of State does not handle this request, okay, it proves that she's a fraud, okay, and you will be able to say whatever you want to say about how fraudulent this administration is.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about how fraudulent the administration is. I'm going to ask the administration to do what they have to do. Look, I'm an American citizen. I was unfairly put on this list. It's a violation of international law. The United States government has an obligation to me as an American citizen, let alone as a broadcaster, to represent me.
Yes, but you represent a political force in this country. If they do not represent you, they're open.
Well, if they choose to ignore the letter or reject the letter, we'll have to discuss it at that time. I am not so sure that Hillary Clinton will reject responding to this letter in a dignified fashion. Los Angeles, Ian on KGIL. What do you think? Will Hillary respond or not?
I believe Hillary will respond, but she'll respond back to you in just a letter of apology, and there's nothing that she can do at her end. The only way she's going to respond at a more diplomatic end with the UK is if there's more attention drawn to this and more people get involved, and something attacks her credibility on this and puts her on the chopping block.
All right, that's how politicians work. However, in this letter written today, we clearly cite two examples of the violation of international covenants and European law. Shouldn't that unto itself trigger an automatic response by the Secretary of State to help me?
It should trigger an immediate response, but what happened with the Homeland Security Office, that should have triggered an immediate response by her, but it did not, because it has nothing to do with her yet. When it starts affecting her personally and her
Wait a minute, but Janet Napolitano backtracked the minute the veterans group said, well, you've gone too far. Janet Napolitano said that they fired or moved the jerk who wrote it to another department. No, no, there was a reaction because of the outcry. What I need is outcry, Ian. I need millions of emails and millions of letters to go to Hillary Clinton.
That's exactly what I'm going to do, Dr. Savage. As soon as I get off work, at work night, I'm going to be sending letters. I'm going to be supporting you because you supported me in the law enforcement community. You supported me in the Marine Corps, and I consider you a friend, and we will support you, and we'll make this happen for you, Mike.
God bless you. Well, I would like every Marine listening to the show who's ever liked what I've done to send one. Someone sent me a new email address for you to try, questions@friendsofhillary.com. 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 Or send it directly. Or just take it from my website, okay? Because it's easier that way. It was sent by fax and Federal Express to the Honorable Hillary Rodham Clinton, U.S. Department of State, 2201 C Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20502. So take the letter and put your own little email on top of it. For God's sakes, though, be dignified about it. What will Hillary do is the question to you, the audience. She is a politician. There is no question in my mind that one day she would like to run against Barack Obama for the presidency. She's got the drive, and she wants to run. And although I am on the other side of the political spectrum, my followers vote. Remember what I just said to you. Although we are independent conservatives, there are probably 30 million of us, and we vote. Most of you didn't vote, incidentally. Many of you didn't vote for McCain because you looked right through him and you saw his daughter. I'll be right back.
Savage.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them.
A decent respect to the...
Well, here is living history right here on talk radio. Living history right here on talk radio. If you've just tuned in, my attorney at the Moore Law Center sent a letter to the Honorable Hillary Rodham Clinton asking her to intervene on my behalf and have my name removed from that list in England for two reasons. The reasons are in law. The reasons are is that forget that I'm protected by the First Amendment. We know that. That's baby talk. But did you know that Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights is a very important covenant, and the United States and the UK are signatories to it. Article 19.2 says, everyone shall have the right to freedom of expression. This right shall include freedom to blah, blah, blah. But more importantly, there was an actual case before the European Court of Human Rights, case of Surek versus Turkey number 1, which held that freedom of expression is not only applicable to information and ideas that are favorably received, but, quote, also to those that offend, shock, or disturb. Now, the Home Secretary said that I offend, shock, or disturb. So she violated not only the European Court of Human Rights case that I'm citing, but she also violated the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. And I'm asking my government to intervene on my behalf, irrespective of whether or not they agree with me. And I'm sure they don't agree with my politics. We will also be sending a similar letter to other high-ranking U.S. government officials and perhaps high government officials in the state of California, of which I am a resident. I pay very high income taxes, and I want protection from my state. My rights have been denied by a foreign government, and I want to ask my state to help me. And I'm going to ask, I may send an open letter to Obama. That's correct. I may send an open letter to Obama. I may send an open letter to President Obama. The man was a professor of constitutional law before he became president. If he was a professor of constitutional law, then the president should understand what's at stake here. Surely his legacy is important to him. After all, he's the first African-American president, is he not? And as an African-American, he's more sensitive to human rights cases than others, I would assume. That's what we've been told. At least he should be, and I assume he is. And also he appeals to those who consider themselves to be the underdog. You're not going to tell me that Britain is the underdog here, are you? I am one man alone facing a nation and all of its powers. Who is the underdog here? The British government or Michael Savage? I am the underdog, and I need the help of my government. Will they help me or not, is the question.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Now, that was Hillary Clinton then, when Bush was president, saying that we have a right to debate with any administration, and we agreed with her. Well, I'm debating with this administration. I wonder if she agrees with me. Welcome to the Savage Nation. If you've just tuned in, the headline is, radio host Michael Savage appeals to Hillary to remove his name from UK banned list. Now, I apologize in advance for the fact that this is not an entertaining topic nor an entertaining show. There is no Teddy here. There are no recipes, no jokes, no offhanded comments, none of my normal brilliant fare. But you know, there comes a time in every man's life when you have to get down to brass tacks. This is it. My name has been put on a list with murderers, and I want my name off that list. Now, who do I turn to? Well, first, I must tell you that I turn to my own government. It doesn't matter that they don't like my politics. In fact, that they abhor my politics is why they should help me. Voltaire said, I do not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. Voltaire was taught by all philosophy professors to all college students for centuries. Well, for over a century, excuse me. And it used to be a credo of the liberals that they will defend my right to say it. And I am appealing to Hillary Clinton to act in this fashion because, A, I'm an American citizen, but that's not enough. The letter was sent to her by my attorney at the Thomas More Law Center, by Richard Thompson, president and chief counsel. And I'm not going to read it for you again. You can get it up on michaelsavage.com. You can make a donation to my Savage Legal Defense Fund if you wish. But the most important parts of the letter are, and they did their research, that putting me on this list is a violation of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which both the United States and the United Kingdom are signatories, Article 19. And more importantly, he has discovered that the UK is in direct violation of Article 10 of the European Convention on Human Rights, which protects the right to freedom of expression. Okay. And he cites the European Court of Human Rights in an actual case law, case of Zurich versus Turkey, number one. Many of you are legal addicts. I mean, you love to watch police shows, law shows, all of that. Well, here's a real law case. European Court of Human Rights case of Zurich versus Turkey, number one, held that this freedom of expression is not only applicable to information and ideas that are favorably received, but, quote, also to those that offend, shock, or disturb, close quote. Now, the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, said that my comments offend, shock, and disturb. She's in violation of the European Court of Human Rights and having picked my name out of a hat and put me on this list with pretty despicable individuals, including murderers. I want my name off the list. I want Hillary Clinton to intervene on my behalf. She can come out and she can make her name for herself. She can create a legacy for herself. She can gain, I think, many votes for herself by showing that she is fair-minded when it comes to things of this nature. Will she do it or not? I asked you. Will Hillary do the right thing? Will Hillary do the wrong thing? Or will Hillary do nothing? And the phone number here at the Savage Nation is 1-800-449-8255. I please ask you again to go to michaelsavage.com, check out the letter itself, print it up, email it to everyone you know, email it to everybody you know, email it to congressmen and senators, try Lieberman, try some of those you think might be above mere partisan politics, and tell them to please lobby on behalf of freedom of speech with Hillary Clinton. And then, of course, you can support the Savage Legal Fund. 4 Embarcadero, Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, 94111. Okay? Now it's your turn. San Francisco, KNEW, Mark, will Hillary do something or not? Go ahead, please.
I'm pretty sure that it's going to be a matter of course for her because of two reasons, because of the legal facts stated in the letter and the fact that it could be a brilliant move politically for her to put her money where her mouth is.
Well, I'm going to take the letter to the European Court, if not. I mean, if my own government won't intervene on my behalf, what does it tell you about Obama, the constitutional scholar? I mean, the man was a professor of constitutional law. If ever there was a president who should understand what's at stake here and that he has a chance to rise above petty politics, this is a case for him to prove it, don't you think?
Absolutely. All right.
Well, he'd be a champion not only of the left in doing so, but he would also be a champion of all of those who believe in fairness, which crosses all party lines. I'm going to appeal to Obama himself. I will send this letter in another form, an open letter to President Obama at some point. At first, though, I'm giving Hillary Clinton a chance to act because I determine that the Secretary of State is the proper venue through which to pursue this justice. New York City, WOR, Greg. Will Hillary do or not do? Go ahead, please.
Mike, the day that Hillary Clinton intervenes on your behalf is the day that I'm going to come out to San Francisco and introduce you to the Easter Bunny and the Cheshire Cat because we will both be living in fantasy land. There's no way that this woman, who has historically done the wrong thing and has never risen above partisan politics in this instance, will do the right thing. She will simply say that it's up to the Europeans, yada, yada, yada. You know, you and I both know that.
Wait. That's what I originally thought, but my attorney discovered that both the United States and the UK are signatories to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. So it's not up to the Europeans, per se, or solely up to the Europeans. It is not solely up to the Europeans.
see how.
The lawyer says, I request that you take all necessary action to protect Mr. Savage's rights under Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which both the United States and the UK are signatories. I mean, let's be clear here. We're talking about international law. The liberals keep saying that we have to move beyond American law. Ruth Bader Ginsburg and others say we should adopt European law. Well, I'm citing European law here.
Michael, I agree with you, and okay, the law is the law. But this administration, as you well know better than probably I do, has a way of spinning things. Can you spin the law? No, you can't change that.
Well, I'm not letting this go. This letter has gone out. Millions of people are going to hear about this letter. They're going to print a letter. This is going to become another issue. And journalists who are worth their salt will ask the president through his press secretary when they're going to intervene on behalf of an American citizen unjustly listed with murderers and terrorists. That's what you'd expect from a free press, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And I definitely
would you expect that to come from somebody at NBC? Sure, in the heyday of NBC, when it was still a news bureau instead of a public relations outlet for Obama, maybe. Would you expect somebody at ABC, perhaps Jake Tapper, to ask this question? I would. Anybody who wants to make his bones as a journalist in this day and age of Obama, where everything is so carefully controlled, will ask this question. Will the president intervene on behalf of Michael Savage, even though you despise his politics, because he's protected by various covenants? That's what a journalist should ask. Do I expect any of these martinets to intervene on my behalf? These martinets in the news business? No. Do I hope so? Yes. Am I hopeful? Yes. Do I believe God's hand is at work? Yes. There's no other reason for this of having happened to me when I was thinking of retiring in the next year or so. I'm telling you, I wanted to get out of this. It was time to move on. I've done 15 hard years. There's more in life than this. But it was not my fate to simply withdraw from politics, was it? Something higher reached down and acted through the Home Secretary and put my name on a list with murderers. I'm not going to rest until my name is taken off that list. And I am hoping that there's at least one major league politician who understands that their legacy is at stake here. Because if they do not act on my behalf, that will be part of their legacy. You say, well, how? After all, you're only a talk show host, you're a conservative, they're liberals, the historians are all liberals. My friends, their legacy is at stake. I can guarantee you their legacy is at stake. You hear? Wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? I'll be right back. Will Hillary intervene on behalf of freedom of speech? Will Hillary Clinton intervene on behalf of a man whose politics she abhors? Will Hillary Clinton do the right thing and therefore rise above partisan politics is the question. The letter was filed today. If you just tuned in, it's will she or won't she? Savage appeals to Hillary Clinton. It was on Drudge. It's on michaelsavage.com. It's on WorldNet Daily. I would expect that some others in the business of the news, particularly those who pretend that play at conservatism, would run this story. But I've given up on believing in that there's some kind of coordinated conservative movement in America. I've turned to the Bible, Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to read you a paragraph. I don't care whether you're religious or not, because I believe everybody listening to this show goes back two generations, and somebody in your family was extremely believing. I don't care if you have green hair and nipple rings. I don't care if you roll like a pig in the mud at night. If you go back two generations, somebody in your family was a religious person. And therefore, there is a spark of God and righteousness within you. And I know this, that when I read from the Bible, this book that many of you mock that you don't even look at, somehow it is like lighter fluid on that spark, and perhaps I could ignite the righteousness within you. Then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. And he goes on about being alone and why it's better to have two rather than one. And Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, and hath not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have warmth. But how can one be warm alone? And if a man prevail against him that is alone, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Well, you say, what does this gibberish mean? I'll let you figure out what this gibberish means. I will tell you that, what shall I say? That I may feel as though I am alone right now and that I have fallen, and I'm asking you as my fellow man to help lift me up as your fellow man in my time of need by reading a letter that we have filed with Hillary Clinton, by sending the letter to your congressman, to your senator, again asking them to pressure Hillary Clinton to intervene on behalf of this American citizen who she disagrees with politically. I am asking you to go to my website and make a contribution to the legal fund because I found out that, well, it's very expensive. Because all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead that are already dead, more than the living that are yet alive, but better than they both is he that hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again, I consider all labor and all excelling in work, that it is a man's rivalry with his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than both the hands full of labor and striving after wind. There's an Arab phrase that comes to mind. If you cannot improve upon the silence of the desert, do not speak. I've loved that one. Of course, it's antagonistic to my profession. If you cannot improve upon the silence of the desert, do not speak. Love it. Perhaps one day I will be like Lawrence of Arabia, although I don't like the heat and I don't like aridity. I doubt it. I doubt that'll be my retirement, the desert. Who knows? Who knows what fate has in store for me? Who knew that this little guy from the Bronx would wind up being hated by an entire government? Who would think it? Who would think it? You get on the radio, you speak for 15 years. Oh, you say things that people love and hate. Who ever thought that the British government would come out and ban me from Britain? I never thought it could happen. Thought maybe I'd be banned from Syria. I thought maybe I'd be banned from Iran. Thought I'd be banned from Venezuela. I thought I'd be banned from North Korea. I never thought I'd be banned from the land of the Magna Carta. Never. And so I say I appeal to my own government. Because a government actually has obligations under covenants and treaties, irrespective of whether they like the individual who is appealing to them. You hear that? They have obligations. And the question is, well, will they act on these obligations? The answer is, if there is enough pressure, they will. And that pressure has to come from the people. This is called the prairie fire. This is called the grassroots. I do not appeal to the top so much as I appeal to the grassroots. The prairie fire must be lit. You must become one of the grasses in the field. You must do your part right now. You stopped George Bush from turning over our port security to the folks from Dubai. And God bless you for doing so. You saved all of us from a God knows what fate. You stopped John McCain from working with Kennedy and granting amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. And God, the government should thank you for that, because as broke as we are, we would be 10 times more broke with all of those new mouths to feed for free. You stopped the appointment of Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court because she was a nonentity, as I described several years ago. You stopped that with letters, with emails, with calls. Well, you have power. Don't you understand that? So please go to my website, look at the letter to Hillary Clinton, Madam Secretary. It's very polite. It's very specific. And send your own cover letter to the law letter and say, please, We implore you, Mrs. Clinton, to act on behalf of Michael Savage and get his name off the list. You don't have to say anymore. You don't have to be a college graduate to do that. All you got to do is download the letter and then email it, or mail it, rather, to the Honorable Hillary Rodham Clinton at the address stated. It's simple. You can be part of history. You can play a role in freedom.
Set.
Letter has gone out to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton asking her to intervene on my behalf as an American citizen. We cite case law, we cite European law, and we're waiting to see if we hear from Hillary Clinton and what the response might be. I've invited you to call and ask you what your opinions are, and the phone number you know. The website's michaelsavage.com, where you can read the legal letter. Just went out today. New York City, WOR. Jim, go ahead, please.
England is not banning your speech. You're free to say anything that you want, but they don't want any troublemakers in England, and they have a right to keep you out, as we have a right.
See, Jim, hold it. Jim, are you able to listen, or you have your opinion made up?
Well,
Are you able to listen?
I'm listening.
Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which both the United States and the UK are signatories, Article 19.2, says everyone shall have the right to freedom of expression. The right shall include freedom to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas of all kinds, regardless of frontiers. You understand what that means, of course.
Yes. And regardless,
it just said regardless of frontiers, did it not?
To say anything you want, but they don't want you in England.
Jim, how can I say what I want in England if they won't let me in the country? It says regardless of frontiers. The object was to make certain that people could not be prohibited from coming into the European nations to present their positions.
Country has any country has got the right to keep anybody out.
No, you are wrong about that. Maybe the Nazis had the right to keep people out, and maybe you are a Nazi. I'm sure you are a fascist. Although you consider yourself a great liberal, look in the mirror. You have become the very thing you feared most on the earth. You have become the Nazi.
The Muslims.
You are the fascist, you schmuck, you. You think you're a great liberal? You are the Nazi fascist.
See what a liar you are.
See? Everyone has the right of freedom of expression. This right shall include freedom to hold opinions and to receive and impart information, ideas, without interference by public authority and regardless of frontiers. So you see, here is a man who thinks he's an old liberal, who is nothing but the man he hated and feared the most. He is his own enemy. He has become his own worst enemy. He's saying, oh, they have a right to keep you out. No, they don't. According to European law, they do not have the right to keep me out. They do not have the right to keep me out of their nation. I have not committed any acts of terror or of violence. Sure, if I was a murderer or a terrorist, I could see where they would say you're an undesirable. But because they abhor my political positions, meaning, remember, only the radical left socialist labor government has deemed me to be an undesirable. We do not know what the conservative branch of the British government will say. Perhaps one day they will undo this injustice. And perhaps one day I will be invited to England to present my opinions before the House of Commons or the House of Lords or wherever the House is, whatever they call it there. Perhaps one day I will visit England, and it will be England once again. But when you see a man, an old cracker like the man who just called, who I'm sure all of his life has been a left-wing socialist, thinking he stands for the common man and the common good, but he hates my positions because I stand opposed to communism, I stand opposed to socialism, I stand opposed to the lack of freedom in such countries, and he gets on the show and says they have a right to ban you. He doesn't understand what he has become. Doesn't understand it at all. Question to you is, what will Hillary do? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I'd like to hear your opinion. Palm Beach, Florida. Ginger, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage. I think that because the Obama administration, we remember when the letter went out about the list, if we had any thoughts of abortion, that we didn't go along with abortion, you know, that lady Politalo, I can never pronounce her name correctly. Isn't it ironic that England all of a sudden they want to ban you? They all tie together. Those people think alike, and since they are our allies, they're going to do what the Obama...
Well, I understand. They're both left-wing governments. Obama's a far-left president. The Labour government in England is a far-left government. I understand that. Nevertheless, President Obama, in some way, is a cut above him. He may be a leftist, but he was a professor of constitutional law, Ginger. He's not an ordinary politician in that regard.
Yes, but he's still, you know, ever since he's been in office, been trying to tear down the Constitution. So, you know, I hope that they will. I will write those letters that you were requesting.
Well, God bless you, Ginger. With a million people like you, perhaps President Obama will instruct Hillary Clinton to do the right thing. I want to reiterate to you, for those of you who still have an open mind and an open heart, the European Court of Human Rights, if you read page 2 of the letter to the secretary on michaelsavage.com, the European Court of Human Rights case of Zurich versus Turkey says this freedom of expression is not only applicable to information ideas that are favorably received, but, quote, also to those that offend, shock, or disturb. Don't you understand what this means? Don't you understand the principle upon which this is built? Ecclesiastes did. I said in my heart, come now, I will try thee with mirth and enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doth it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to pamper my flesh with wine, and my heart conducting itself with wisdom, yet how to lay hold on folly, till I might see which it was best for the sons of men, that they should do under the heaven the few days of their life. I made me great works. I builded my houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and parks, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therefrom, the woods springing up with trees. I acquired men servants and maid servants, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of herds and flocks, above all that were before me in Jerusalem. I gathered me also silver and gold and treasure such as kings and the provinces have as their own. I got me messengers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, women very many. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom stood me instead. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart had joy of all my labor. And this was my portion from all my labor. Then I looked out on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity, and a striving after wind. And there was no profit under the sun. I direct that to every politician listening to this show. I'll be right back. Savage. This is Real Time 101 on the Savage Nation. It's no longer just a talk show guy, you know, saying whatever comes to his mind for shock value, as some of you think it's all it's about, or as you understand that there's more to me than that. Whichever way you want to spin it, now it's a different story already. Now it's an international event. Now here you have a man, whether you love him or hate him, who is a performance artist. Let's put it to you that way. I'll put it in that context. So I challenge the left-wing political order. So what? You live in a free country, don't you? So now the political order in this country didn't act against me because there are no laws upon which they can act. So some think that they deflected the ball to come at me from England, where the laws are not quite as protective, so they thought. But my attorney at the Thomas More Law Center said, well, hold on now. England is a signatory to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. England is a member of the European Court of Human Rights, and they have held that ideas must be defended, even those that offend, shock, or disturb, in an actual citation of case law. Therefore, in conclusion, the Thomas More Law Center, on behalf of Michael Savage, respectfully demands that you and the U.S. Department of State, Ms. Clinton, take all necessary steps to call on the government of the United Kingdom, more particularly the Office of the Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, to rescind the aforementioned ban preventing the entry of Michael Savage into the United Kingdom. This is very serious stuff. What do you think is going to happen? You can participate by calling my show. You can participate by reading the letter, by sending a letter to congressmen, senators, by sending a few bucks to the defense fund, whatever you want to do. But make no mistake about it. Right now, anyone who's a regular listener of this show is a part of an evolving historical case. You can play a part in this case. Fort Lauderdale, Susan, welcome to the program.
Michael, now that this letter is out there and going to be going viral, you put the administration between a rock and a hard place, and I think you may just find that Jackie Smith herself will all of a sudden decide that she made a mistake and take you off the list herself.
Well, she's in violation of the European laws themselves. It doesn't matter that she finds my views abhorrent.
I understand, but the administration, although they may want to look good and stand up for you in this, it also sets a precedent if they stand up for freedom of speech, because they're trying to stifle freedom of speech. So they're going to find some way to get out of this, and they may just put pressure on Jackie Smith to do that for them.
That's interesting. Susan, as usual, the women are smart. The women of the Savage Nation. Can I send you a copy of Psychological Nudity, Susan, or would you prefer Healing Children Naturally?
Can I get the Alzheimer's book?
You're good. Yes, stay on the line. Take Susan's stuff and send it to my fulfillment house. She can't have the Alzheimer's book because she's never going to get it. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Oh, is that ever true? Ignorance is bliss. He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Is that ever true? It's why many people who are very intelligent act dumb. Why many people who are very intelligent stay shallow. You know, they know what's coming. They know what's coming. You get into this. I'll just take your calls. Actually, no, I'm not going to get into your calls. I want to read another piece from the Bible, because you say, well, ask me, how do you go on in the darkness of the night? I'm getting up every night now, 2:33. Doesn't matter. I learned 30 years ago how to deal with insomnia, and I survived it. I read 50 books on it, and the one thing that saved me the most was this phrase that I read: nobody ever died from a lack of sleep. They died from worrying about a lack of sleep. And I read other books which said, well, you're waking up 3 in the morning, you can't sleep, go out on your deck and look at the stars. And I restudied astronomy. Go and read a book. They said you can run around the block in 3 minutes. You can write a letter. Then you can write an email. Think of all the things you could do at 2:30 in the morning that you don't do. Who said you need to sleep till 7 in the morning or 6? So I didn't. I stayed up all night worrying. I said, I have 2 young children. I killed myself to get a teaching job. They won't hire me even though I have a great PhD. Because I'm a white male and white males need not apply. What am I going to do? What are my poor children going to do? How are my poor children going to get forward in life if they deny me what I have worked for, I thought. Well, okay, so I worked my way through it. I learned how to deal with insomnia. And that's when I rediscovered God and rediscovered the Bible. Again, I know this sounds, you know, a little hokey right now, but it doesn't matter what it sounds like to you. All that matters is what it is. I had a dream last night that this Bible, this very Bible I'm quoting from, the Holy Scriptures, with 150 post-its in it, and that journalist from the magazine article, he saw it with his own eyes. I dreamed that this Bible was in the mud. Would you believe it? I dreamed I was moving or traveling, and I couldn't find my Bible, and I looked, and it was laying in the mud. And it was just dirtied, and it was soiled. And I said, oh, my God, how did it wind up in the mud? And I woke up and I thought about it. I had a cup of coffee and I said, it's because you've left it in the mud. Because you left that Bible in the mud. Because you didn't pick it up. You're the one who abandoned that Bible to the mud. You're the one who didn't take it seriously. You're the one who has to take it up and dust it off and clean it off and read it. You are the one. So you see, I really believe that I have a mission here, and the mission may just be to read from the Bible. I don't know what it is. There's something at play here. There's something cosmically going on. I'm a part of the big wheels moving. I don't know actually what the end result is going to be. I hope it's good, but it could be bad. It could be a disaster for me. This could be the first blow, not the last blow. It could be very good for humanity. It could be very bad for humanity. I don't know. You understand that? You understand what's at stake here? But the fool walketh in darkness. And I hated all my labor wherein I labored under the sun, seeing that I must leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet will he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun? This also is vanity. Therefore, I turned about to cause my heart to despair concerning all the labor wherein I had labored under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom and with knowledge and with skill. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. In other words, no matter what you create, you can leave it to a dummy. You hear? This also is vanity. Or you could direct it to the Constitution itself. Our founding fathers labored to create this document. Labored to create the documents that we think are in existence. The Bill of Rights, the U.S. Constitution. You hear this? And who did they leave it to? Right now, they left it to Bill Clinton, George Bush, and now Obama. Now, what does that mean? Well, does it lead to despair? You hear that? So the founding fathers leave it now to Obama. And what shall he do with this legacy? This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath a man of all his labor and of the striving of his heart wherein he laboreth under the sun? For all his days are pains and his occupation vexation. Even in the night his heart taketh no rest. This also is vanity. I know it's very dismal. I know you want to run out and take a pill. You want to get a drink. You want to stop listening to me. I know you want to turn on sports or music. I know what the human condition is. But there are times that I cannot just rise above reality. I cannot sail. I cannot float like a butterfly. I cannot fly like an eagle, whatever you want to say. There are times I have to live in the reality of what's going on, and this is one of those times. Very hard times and very real times. How it ends, I don't know. Around and around it goes. It's the wheel of fortune. I don't know how this ends. You can help change the tide of human history by helping this case. Is it as dismal as I make it? I don't know. Depends upon how it ends. Now, I want to leave you on a positive note, because many of you are probably saying, my God, all is vanity. I forgot that from the Bible. Who needs this garbage? That's why I don't read it anymore. It's all depressing. It's old, you know, old Jewish olive growers who were deficient in niacin, and they were depressed. That's why I stopped reading that junk. But then Ecclesiastes, it is, writes this. After all of this, when he says, even in the night his heart taketh no rest, this also is vanity. He writes in Ecclesiastes 24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. So you see, there is something you can do. It's very simple. There's nothing better for a man than he should eat or drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. End of story. In other words, don't look for your reward in the next world. Don't look for your reward somewhere else. Go and have a good meal and a drink. Something that my mother would have told me. She lived to 88. She loved a good meal. She didn't drink, but she loved a good meal. My father died 35 years before. She never went out with another man. She belies all the rules of San Francisco, which is that in order to live long, you have to have wild, free sex with strangers on a regular basis. Otherwise, you'll dry up and die. She laughed once, and she said, oh, really? Not in my circle. We don't need that. And she lived to 88. God rewarded her for her goodness. So here we are. And here we are, and here we are, and here we are. Look, I have another big hour of broadcast, but I'm exhausted. I'm drained. I'm dead. And I'm going to have to leave early, and I'm going to play some best of stuff for 1 hour. With God's will, I'll be back tomorrow. But on the way out the door right now, I think the most important thing I can do for you is ask you to go on a website, download the letter, and do what you have to do. A time to laugh, a time to weep. Not everything is ha-ha time in Liberalville. See, it's not all ha-ha time. It's not all feel-good. It's not all positive, boys and girls. Listen carefully. The Bible knows more than that crackpot psychiatrist you're listening to.
A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn.
A time to dance, a time to mourn. Go tell that to your shrink. It tells you to go out and have a good time 24/7. That's psycho peddling drugs.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I have a small library that I keep in my radio studio, and one of the books I keep is Lawrence Reese's book, R-E-E-S, The Nazis, A Warning from History, a companion to the prize-winning History Channel BBC documentary, The Nazis, A Warning from History. Now, this book was published a number of years ago. I don't even think it could be published today, 1997. It may as well have been 1947. But there's a chapter with a paragraph or two that I keep posted, it, and I just opened it to that chapter right now, Helped into Power, how Hitler was helped into power and what happened after he was elected. And here is a man who was a member of a different party, a man who was a member of the opposition, the German Socialist Party. And he said his party believed that since Hitler was now the legally chosen chancellor, then they were the legal opposition, this party, and they could carry on as if in a normal, stable democracy. Quote, we hadn't fully realized what it would mean, says Herfelder. We believed that we could still control him through parliament. Total lunacy, close quote. As for the Communist Party, their attitude to the news of Hitler's chancellorship was scarcely a call to world revolution. One says, the Communist Party line to which I still belong was that it didn't matter if Hitler gets the power. That's good. He'll soon have proved himself incompetent, and then it's our turn. For some extraordinary reason, they didn't realize that he was going to change the law once he came to power. What you don't know is I hear many, many Republicans kind of laughing in the dark, saying, oh, well, he's going to prove about Obama. He's going to prove himself to be incompetent. And then it's going to be our turn. It's history repeating itself all over again. What you don't understand is that the danger is here right now. That when crises are happening and people say that they have the wisdom and the answer and they can bring salvation to everybody, they usually become very popular. And Hitler, remember, came to power legally within the existing constitutional system. And of course, he eventually swept democracy itself away. Now, Obama doesn't have to sweep democracy away. He doesn't have to do it at all. When you have quisling prostitutes like Arlen Specter, when you have vermin degenerate comedians like Al Franken moving over to your side and you have a supermajority, you virtually have a dictatorship. So it doesn't matter whether or not there's an opposition. They are fundamentally not there. And so therefore, we are now living in a dictatorship. And that's why that I'm changing my tune. I'm going to be along and get along. I'm going to go along and be one of you. I want to fit in to the New World Order. I want to worship Big Brother. I want Homeland Security and the CIA and the FBI to know that I'm no longer a threat to the world order. I no longer believe in borders. In fact, I think that borders are a part of the past. I believe that English, while an interesting language, an archaic language at that, the new language of America should be somewhat of a Meso-Latino language. In fact, the national anthem itself must go because it bludgeons you with sort of a jingoism. And I think it's time to replace it with the Internacional. Joe in Ohio, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Hey, you know, for the peaceful nation, I'd like to add a suggestion. I think you should stop the yelling because the yelling does offend people. It's a little bit too aggressive. Maybe you can come across and be a little bit more passive.
I'm trying to do that. In fact, I'm going to go have a female sex hormone injection to cut down on the testosterone overload.
That would be good. How about if maybe you can start drinking decaf coffee? Because that'll also calm me down a little bit.
Well, I can go further than that. I mean, I can have some kind of soya drink that increases the amount of female hormones in my body, because the soya contains a starter compounds for female hormones, you know, and it'll make a man more mellow. You know?
And maybe you could put soy cheese on your pizza, maybe light beer.
Oh, I cut out real cheese a long time ago. I switched to soy cheese a while ago because it's more natural. It's in keeping with the earth. It's less cruel. It's less cruel cheese.
Okay, and if we're swinging...
You see, if you eat less cruel food, you'll become less of a right winger. The important thing is to get rid of caffeine, certainly alcohol. I think the state should require that all right-wingers smoke marijuana at least once a day, that they should go to a marijuana center and be forced to ingest a joint a day to mellow them and make them kind of nicer so they can listen to HBO at night and enjoy it.
How about no more red meat? Because the red...
Oh, absolutely. Well, red meat is polluting the planet. There's no question about it because, you know, you think about the energy used to raise those the cows and think of the suffering of the cow. Absolutely, no red meat, no meat at all. No animal products, in fact. I think the vegetables themselves need to be eliminated because vegetables feel too. You know, vegetables hurt. You think corn wants to be picked from the field, Joe?
Mike, broccoli screams. I hear it when I cut it.
I know, I hear them. Every time I look at broccoli in a soup, I know it's yelling at me, help, help, get me out of the soup.
Maybe you could even start with a small dose of pharmaceuticals. Forget that health book. What was the health book, Healing Children Naturally?
I think that should be burned. I think that all copies of my book should be burned. I think the government should force the burning of all Savage books because they've only made people upset. I mean, look, think about it. The Savage Nation, The Enemy Within, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, The Political Zoo. These books have really, really made people nervous. It's made them think about things that they shouldn't be thinking about in the New World Order. Because if you're going to sing the Internationale, where there are no borders, there is no language, there is no culture, and there is no self, and there is no liberty, and there is no individual, the idea of borders, language, and culture is a threat to the New World Order. I believe everyone who owns such a book should turn them into a local police station, and they should be burned in a pyre.
And let's stop the last printing of Psychological Nudity. Because
wait a minute, but that's not a political book, Psychological Nudity.
Mike, that makes us happy, and that makes us feel good about ourselves, and we don't really...
Well, no, I do see what you mean. In other words, the book of my family's stories of growing up as poor immigrants and working their way up without accepting welfare or a nickel from the government, that is threatening. You know, just to show men who would rather throw themselves off a fire escape than take a nickel of welfare is actually anti-Obama. Because, after all, these are government jobs. The only jobs he's created are in government. How many jobs were created to work for Barney Frank, do you think? I mean, has he created any jobs other than people who carry Barney Frank's belongings?
Well, he did employ some dressmakers, didn't he?
You see, well, I'm sorry, I'm asking too many questions. And I do worship Big Brother. And I do want Big Brother to love me. I want Big Brother to love me because I love Big Brother. Don't you, Joe? Do you love Big Brother?
I do, and I just got home, and when I turned the radio on and I heard the new national anthem.
Yeah, didn't you feel good hearing the communist national anthem? Because that eliminates the jingoistic national anthem of America that you grew up on.
It was kind of nice that I didn't hear any words. I didn't understand the language. I didn't understand the words. But the music certainly made me feel warm and squishy inside.
Well, that's because it doesn't identify with any single nation, Joe. When you have Ben Bernanke of the Federal Reserve and Tim Geithner of the Treasury, who fundamentally are internationalist bankers running our Treasury into the ground, stealing as much taxpayer money as they want without answering to anybody, you must understand that we are no longer living in a sovereign nation. And that is because sovereign nations are a threat to the New World Order. And, of course, what follows from that, Joe, is that sovereign individuals are even a greater threat than sovereign nations. Once the sovereignty of a nation goes, the sovereignty or identity of an individual must go next. Think about it and get back to me.
Savage.
A I need to get into a third world frame of mind. Oh, that's so much better. I read that Big Brother's education ministry is seeking to prove that a nation was founded not by Christians who were following Judeo-Christian thoughts and ideas, but actually it could be that America was founded on Hindu philosophy, Hindu and Buddhist philosophy. In fact, most of the Buddhists in America who know nothing about Buddhism, the converts, I mean, the former, you know, hippie liberals who are all, they like to put their hands in front of their bodies when they go into Asian restaurants and ask for a glass of water or a napkin. They think that makes them a Buddhist. When they bow to the owner who looks at them like they're insane. They actually believe that the pilgrims were not actually from England. There is some proof emerging from the Department of Education that the pilgrims actually were on a long journey from the Bay of Bengal. They stopped in England, it's true, for a while, and they donned English costumes. But in fact, the pilgrims were Hindus. And so this idea that we're a Judeo-Christian nation also has to be rethought. In the new re-education camp of Big Brother, everything is on the table. You thought that there was a free market? It's free for Dianne Feinstein and the bankers of Wall Street. You thought the country was built on Christian values? You're wrong. There are no Christian values. There may not even be a Christianity. That could be a fantasy also. And so forth and so on. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother. Read the last paragraph of George Orwell's 1984 and weep in your gin.
Savage.
I got to tell you, I'm somehow influenced sometimes by stories. In other words, if I tell a story about Italy or Italian, I wind up eating Italian food. If that day I'm excited over an Indian story, in India I eat Indian food. I had gone shopping at my local market. I would give out his name. He's a nice guy, but I don't want people to look for me there. And I said, I can't find calamari steaks. So he said, I got them in the back. They're frozen in a box. He took them out of the box for me with a hammer and a knife. He broke them apart. Then he has a machine. He put each one in a like a package that takes the air out and resealed it with the air out of it. And he gave me five calamari steaks. It cost me less than $2 a piece. Can you imagine how much they cost even retail? I come home that night. I was in a mood for a calamari steak with mushroom sauce. And I've never had it served with mushroom sauce, but because the other member of the dinner wanted a steak, not calamari, I said, I want to make a mushroom sauce for the first time in my life. So I defrosted the calamari on the cold water. Never use hot water when defrosting virtually anything, because if you use hot water, you're partially cooking it, which is very dangerous. Only defrost using cold water. And then you take the plastic off, okay, then you dry them, blah, blah, blah. You only cook them 3-4 minutes on each side in a very hot pan with very little oil, or else it'll get soggy. And make sure you got a little parsley chopped up. Anyway, I made a mushroom sauce that was so good. No butter, no cream, and I defy you to know, to be able to discern whether there was cream or butter in it. I never had anything like, I slept like a baby. I woke up feeling like I had velvet between my joints. I felt so good that I figured I needed to feel bad. So last night, I ordered bad Italian food from a local restaurant. It wasn't bad. It's old style, like Bronx, Staten Island, Brooklyn Italian food, which is actually a pleasure compared to the upscale, white tablecloth, shishi, bad Italian food kind of restaurants that you find all over, you know, the suburbs. I'm talking meat sauce that's thick, like really heavy, you know, really heavy, like your grandmother made. Your grandmother, not mine. And I got a meat dish, a veal piccata. Then there was, I always eat the other dish on the table. Have you ever seen this going on in restaurants? This goes on for the last number of years. Like men are on low-fat diets. I love to watch this in restaurants. Men over like 40. So the wife usually orders a meal that she knows her husband wants, and he orders something lean.
Oh, I'm doing, yeah, something with no salt, and no cream, no butter, no, make it light, make it light. No cream, no butter.
So he gets this lean dish. She gets this, you know, gut-busting, phenomenal dish on her side. Knowing that he's going to pick it up late. And the guy always eats her meal from his side. And she picks at his dish. She eats the lean dish off his plate. And he's every minute, the fork is, the boarding house reach across the table to her dish. I love to watch this. It goes on consistently. So I overindulged. I had nightmares last night from the meat. If I eat meat late, one nightmare after another. I had a nightmare. I was on Broadway in San Francisco in my car, which is a great car, and it wouldn't go forward, only backwards. You ever dream like this? I try to go forward, and it would go backwards. So I said, I got to get this car parked because I'm leaving for Europe tomorrow. I don't know what I'm doing with Europe. Dreams are crazy. But my whole dream was about getting the car parked safely so that the dealer could pick it up the next day. But I knew if I left it on Broadway, they would tow it away that night in San Francisco. So I tried to back it down a street, and it was all full of coal. Oh, my God, what a horrible dream. So as I drove into San Francisco today, I went down that very street to see if my car would suddenly stop and only go backwards. No, but it turned out it was only a nightmare from the meet. Dad had a small antique store. I told you he sold clocks and figures and statues, mainly 19th century French, and some of it was very good. So amongst the many customers, one of them was a circus performer in the freak show of Ringling Brothers who would get up there, half man, half woman. I don't know. He had a breast on one side and the other side he didn't. I don't know how they with a half a beard. But, you know, after work, he was a regular person, and he lived in a house in Long Beach, like one of those little Godfather houses. So Dad would deliver the work after work. He delivered his own, you know, sales. He didn't have a delivery boy. And I would, you know, I was the kid. I'd go along on the ride, whether it would be the DeSoto or the Cadillac Model 62 with the statues in the back. And we pull up late at night because this guy didn't like to come out during the day. I'll never forget this as long as I live. So the circus guy, the half man, half woman, ring, ring, who's there? Blah, blah, blah. So the guy opens the door, but he can't open the door all the way. He can only open it a crack. Why can he only? And he has to, like, pull the door and push stuff to get. And the house is now littered with art objects in no particular order. Hundreds of statues and paintings on the floor, nothing hung right. He would buy one beautiful thing after another and just randomly put it on the floor like a warehouse. And what was that? Nobody knew. I knew. I was a kid who thought on those long rides out to Long Island and the long rides back, those long winter nights over the Williamsburg Bridge in the car with the sound of the grated metal underneath the tire as your car went over it, looking down from the childhood at the ships that came back from the Korean War with the painting and the LST in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. All the way through to this, I figured out what it was. This guy was a freak. He was ugly in his own mind. So he compensated for his ugliness by buying beauty. And he needed to surround himself with beautiful things as much as possible in a compulsive Savage. Way.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
Indianapolis, JR, you're on The Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
I had, when I was 16 years old, I had my first love. It was a girl that was on vacation in southern Indiana from San Antonio, Texas. We had a wonderful time. I joined the Marines and went to go see her. And I was going to ask her to marry me, and we got into an argument. And I split it up and walked out. 16 years later, we bump into each other again. And she still takes my breath away, and I just realized that she's been the basic comparison for everything, Dr. Savage.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you. You're saying you ran into her 16 years later. How long ago was that?
I just ran into her 3 days ago.
How? Just by chance?
It was actually on the internet.
So you looked for her? You looked for her?
I was on a website that I was turned into, and I started catching up with all my old military buddies. I said, what the heck, you know? And there
she was. So you basically, blah, 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 so you ran into her again, and you still, the magic is still there?
On my part, yes. I don't think on her part. It's been 16 years.
Well, wait a minute now. Did you see her physically or just on the internet?
Just on the internet. I sent her a message, and she replied on it with things that I would know. Then I replied because she asked me a question.
Is she married?
No, sir.
Well, look, women have to be more protective than men, and they are generally psychologically more protective than men. Men are much more out there like, I still like you, you know, let's get together. The woman could think you're a nut or, you know, you're a stalker, so she's being defensive, and self-protective. It doesn't mean she's rejecting you. She doesn't know you, JR. She only knows the memory of you, and she doesn't even know it's really you. I wouldn't give up so fast.
Oh, I agree with you fully, Dr. Savage. That's why I'm taking this.
I would just take it very slow. I mean, I'm no, Mr. Cupid here, but I'm saying, if you really feel the same way you think about her, and you think there's a chance, and this is the girl you really want to marry or whatever, send her a couple of messages, but keep it light. Don't get too demanding and aggressive, and she'll think you're nuts. You got to say to her, I've been thinking about you strangely enough, and I'm glad we ran into each other on the internet. Maybe I can tell you something more about myself. Here's what I've done. Here's who I am. Let's at least be pen pals. What's wrong with that?
None at all, sir. I have done that, and I'm just waiting on her reply. And, hopefully we just friends. She's the only one that I've lost track of. And
well, we'll let it go with that, but I'm going to tell you this. This was raised because I asked the question along these lines 2 hours ago, and I'm sure that my book, Psych, you want to read, which is Love by the Sewer Plant.
That's correct, sir.
Now, hold on. We'll send the copy to you, and I want you to play for me now. I Only Have Eyes for You, sung by the Flamingos, and I'll tell you a story right here on the Savage Nation. Anybody get ready with I Only Have Eyes for You, blup, blup? Is that the Shabup Shabup song? Because that's the one I really want to hear. Oh, you guys are good. You are good today. Shabup Shabup.
I can't see anyone but you.
This is slow. There you go. That's the whole point. All right, now that sets the tone for this story. I write, shall I tell you the story of Love by the Sewer Plant from page 57 of Psychological Nudity? I say, remember the song I Only Have Eyes for You sung by the Flamingos? We're talking Route 42. We're talking 1956-57. We're talking a sewer plant. We're talking about Love by the Sewer Plant, first love by the sewer plant. Now, this girl was so beautiful that people stopped as she went by to marvel at her. We were in a small hotel owned by a former boxer, a pugilist, a real tough guy. If he got into an argument with anyone who worked for him and they got smart, he just beat them up and threw them off the property. That type of guy. Everyone was terrified of him, an old-school New York Jewish kind of street fighter type. So he ruled his little hotel with an iron fist. Because he was tough, things ran right. Nothing ever went wrong. No one robbed cutlery. No one talked back. So anyway, I'm a kid 15 years old, and boom, it's Love by the Sewer Plant. We crossed the road to walk down to the Neversink River to make out. The water was so cold that when you waded across it, your feet turned blue. My uncle had a new Plymouth Fury, so I remember the time. This girl was so stunningly gorgeous, just really beautiful, and the theater companies would come through. They had entertainment in those little hotels and small theaters that they called casinos for a night of entertainment. Sometimes they'd have a comedian who was terrible, a juggler, or a balloon man doing cheap acts. In other words, schlocky entertainment. Nevertheless, these guys, these women, they thought they were artists. You've got to understand that. Even though they were schlocky entertainers, let's say they could paint velvet paintings, to themselves, they were still painters. In their minds, they were Van Goghs. They were theatrical and everyone else was boring. In other words, they were the artists. They understood beauty. So one day a group of these entertainers came around and just stared at this girl. They came running up to her, even though I was holding her hand as if I wasn't there. I was holding her hand and walking with her. We were just kids. One of these artists said, "Man, I wanted you to see this girl," to one of his friends. "This is the girl I was telling you about." They looked at her like she was a specimen of biblical beauty. Where are you going to go when you're a kid and you got nowhere to go? So we took a walk down the hill. It was a long slope down to the river, where there was a sewer treatment plant, which occasionally, as you well know, doesn't smell that good. Kids don't care, though. They don't care how it smells. They don't care what it's like. They can override anything, particularly when the lust hits them. So we two kids walk down the hill, cross the river, roll up the dungarees, take off our shoes. Our legs are blue, and we have a little moment of passion together. It was my first moment of passion, and not exactly on the level of a complete moment of passion. But for me, it was the first of that type. So now I'm starstruck. Coming back to my... I'm going to stop right here. I'll go to the next paragraph. There were not enough stars in the sky that night, in the black sky, the billions of stars to equal the passion that I had for the world. I thought I could literally reach out and grab a star and fly away. That's how phenomenal I felt that evening. But then, of course, as you well know, nothing like that lasts. So what I'm going to get at with this story is that it was by a sewer plant, and there's nothing more to it. Now imagine some John Coltrane, because there's no more to the story. That's all I care to tell. If I tell any more, it will become a pantomime, and I don't want to embarrass myself with a pantomime of something that was quite beautiful. This story ends quite abruptly. Good jazz ends abruptly. Guys, play a little Coltrane so they know what I'm talking about. So my book is like a jazz poem. Many of them are like jazz pieces. Now this is starting to sound like LaBrie's Waterbeds. This is the wrong part of it. If we get it like to a better point, something a little more poignant, maybe a little jazz that moves. Otherwise, they're going to go to sleep and they're going to get comatose. I'm going to wait another 30 seconds. Then either I'm going to break the record or we're going to pick another. Here we go. Now we go. Thank you. Now you got it. Come on. Picture a hopped up drummer, man. Not someone on PCP. You know. Think 50s Jack Kerouac. Now you're talking. Now you got it. Now we're there. Now we're moving. Moving. Now you hit it exactly right. That's the tone of the Savage Nation Express. Oh my God, that's good. My worst nightmare is, please, I don't want to get 1,000 pictures now from women around the country. Dear Dr. Savage, here I am outside my sewer plant. I don't want to get 1,000 pictures of women in various stages of undress of them outside sewer plants. Now, please don't. I don't want it. This is, it's a story. It's just a reverie. I'm not one of those radio guys, you know what I'm saying, who's trolling. I'm not trolling. End of story. Forget it. Oh, you have to be so careful. The power of suggestion.
Savage.
The story I'm going to tell you occurred when I was a young man. First a kid and then a young man. And it was about a man who grew up as one of my father's best friends in a very poor neighborhood in New York City. They were immigrants together. Their parents came over. They came over, I think, maybe on the same boat, or they met each other in the slums of New York. And they both had a very tough life, and they worked their way up little by little, as the immigrants have to do and as they struggle in the society. And this man went into a business that took off at a certain point like a rocket. He hit a fad in a certain business, and he started to make a great deal of money, and he moved way beyond our family. While we lived in an attached house in Queens, New York, an attached brick house, he had the money to move his family to a detached house. Remember how important that distinction was in those days. It's like the Buick LeSabre as opposed to the Buick Roadmaster. Well, God forbid you, a Rockefeller, you bought a Cadillac, if you can imagine. That's how people used to grade themselves in those days, by their success, you know, their status, cars and houses. I don't suppose it's much different today. It just isn't as easy to figure out in some regard, not on the road anyway. Anyway, so he moved to this detached house in Roslyn, New York. And it was a beautiful house. It had its own garden all around it. We only had a little strip of grass in the backyard, a little teeny one in the front. And the carpet was wall to wall, and it was pink, and he was a big cigar smoker, and we go over and visit, and I had a very good time. He would gloat, you know, with the cigar and lord it over my father, and we'd leave. My father never said anything against him, but, you know, I could see in his eyes that he was in his, you know, he was a little, let's say lost that little battle at that time. You know how men are. I mean, men are competitive. Even if they love their friend, if their friend does better than them, there's a degree of envy in every human being. It's just one of the cardinal sins. As years went on, the man's business continued to thrive. And then I left home. I moved away from New York City. I went and did my thing, collecting plants, working for my graduate degrees, thousands of miles away. I was living 6,000 miles away, then 9,000 miles away in the Fiji Islands. And lo and behold, on one of my trips back to New York when I was already a father myself, I had heard that this man's business had collapsed entirely. The fad that he had rode like a wave had died. Women were no longer buying that particular product. And the man who had a chain of successful wholesale stores lost everything. He lost everything, and it was so fast that he wound up living where he started, on the Lower East Side of New York, in a poor relative's apartment with his wife and the relative's family, back where he started, in a one-room apartment. And that's where I come in. I come back from one of my trips to the Fiji Islands. I'm a young man in my, I don't know how old I must have been. I don't remember, 25, 30. I don't remember what age I was already anymore. And there he was, sitting in my father's house. And I love this man. I loved him like another father. I loved all my father's friends. And you know how it is when you're a kid in a very close-knit community. You tend to love the people like they're your own. You know, we all grew up so closely together. There was never a bad word between him and my father, man. He's sitting there shrunken up in the chair in my living room where he had lost everything. And he looks up at me, still smoking a cigar, and he was shrunken in the chair. And he looks up at me in his eyes and he says, Michael, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. And his eyes were like wandering left and right. He didn't understand what happened to him. And he said, I'd rather I have cancer than what God did to me. And lo and behold, I soon left New York. I went back to do what I did, which is collecting plants. And I heard that 2 years later he died from one of the most rapidly invasive forms of brain cancer. Be careful what you say. God hears the truth, but waits. I'll be right back. Savage. Yesterday was a day that looked like I did nothing. And then at night as I went to sleep, I said, you know, this was a remarkable day. What did I do? Nothing. So it started out on the beach. I needed to get some air, and I happen to live in Northern California near San Francisco. There's a tunnel you can drive through and be at the beach in 10 minutes over the headlands of Marin County. It's an old ammunition tunnel, by the way. I don't know how many of the people who ride bicycles through there know that, but the tunnel was built as an ammo tunnel for the military in World War II. So I went out on the beach. It was a gloomy, cold day, and I walked and walked and walked. I collected flat rocks. And as I picked up these absolutely smooth flat rocks, I remembered they were once hills. And I thought of myself walking as a spirit through time. And I said, you know, doesn't that take a little of the pressure off you to realize that these rocks were once mountains and that you're just merely a man walking through time? So, yeah, all right. So I got back to my real self, you know, the naturalist self. And after doing that, I went to an Indian lunch buffet. Say, well, what's remarkable about that? Well, I'll tell you what's remarkable about that. Normally, I go to these things and I eat the vegetable stuff, and I try to avoid the lamb, and I eat a little of the chicken, the tandoori chicken. You know, $8.95 all you can eat. I'm not a fat guy, so I eat a plate and maybe go back for another one. I got there 1:45, and they close at 2. Scattered a few tables talking. That was it. Everyone was through eating. I said, could you put more lamb in there? I was in a lamb mood. I never eat it. I feel bad for the animal, and I don't like the high-fat diet. I knocked off a plate. There was nothing but bones left. I'd been sick, and I really needed the carnitine, the fat, and the B12. I was craving it. There was grease on my hands and my face. I took it in the back room so no one could watch me eat. I really wanted to enjoy myself. So the Indian guy who owns it, I saw on the second pass when the bones were rising in the plate, I saw the eye was going up already. You know, he saw a money loser. In the middle of the buffet, the phone rings. My hands are greasy. Now, this is a tough one. You got two greasy hands and a greasy mouth. The phone rings. I knew it was a U.S. congressman calling, and I knew I had to take the call. I had given my number out to his assistant because he said he had to call me about something, and I'll tell you more about that at another time. I'm giving you a day now, a day in the life of Michael Savage. Went home, took a nap. Then I had dinner that night. I was going to go. I wasn't going to go. Then I went. I went to dinner with two remarkable men. One is a very close friend of mine, maybe my only friend. He drives me crazy. I drive him crazy, but we love each other because we love each other. That's all there is to it. The other man is a new friend of mine. He's a producer. He's a film producer, director, and writer. We're having a pizza and a little soup and a salad. And he starts to tell me a story that I said, are you making this up? And I can't tell you the whole story right now. I'm giving you an overview. I said, well, what are you talking about? His mother and father, listen to this story, a short version. They had 7 children, and then after the 7 children, the mother ran off with his violin teacher and married him. I said, what? That's impossible. That can't happen. Now, how we got there was he said, you're a great storyteller. I remember the story you're talking about, Lido Beach, Long Beach, Little House, the half man, half woman, the Bronzes. He says, I grew up there. I said, you grew up in the, yeah. He says, my stepfather was Italian. We lived in the Italian enclave out in Long Beach where it was half mafia and half this. Half. So that's how he got it. He says, and then he like by on the side, he tells me the mother ran off with Italian violin teacher. So I said, wait a minute, tell me the rest of this. Are you making it up? And I looked it up on Google. It turns out it was true. But there was more. His mother, who died recently at age 95, was one of the first pilots, female pilots in the world. And she's on the internet. 1928, the woman was a pilot. It's unbelievable. A friend of Amelia Earhart. I said, how did your mother, a friend of Amelia Earhart, wind up marrying your father, who came to this country at age 13? And lived on the Lower East Side and sold newspapers to pay for food and lodging before he went to Columbia and then became a famous physician. How did this happen? Well, I'll tell you the story in a minute. This is now number four of the day. That night, meaning yesterday, I like to watch movies at night. I click, click, click. Most of them are junk, you know, but sometimes you hit a good one. This was on the Sundance Channel, and it's a mixed bag on Sundance, 40 Shades of Blue with Rip Torn. What's it about? Well, it's a pretty amazing story that I watched. I was captivated. You know, young Russian girl, girlfriend of older record producer in Memphis, Tennessee, comes back to America. She's his live-in girlfriend. They have a child together, but they're not married. And he's played by Rip Torn, like this garrulous, you know, kind of well-to-do guy down in the Memphis music industry. And she's this stunning, you know, Russian beauty. And they really love each other, apparently. Well, it's about her affair with his estranged son who comes to town for a party. And the way it's played out, it's a purely adult movie. It's something that many people would consider very slow. But if you like this kind of movie, it's like reading a novel, like a slow novel.
Savage.